This is Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of industry leaders and examining the impact of social media on marketing.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jones. Welcome to Marketing Voices. And today I'm talking to John Kemble, who's the Consulting Associate Professor of the Institute of Design at Stanford, and he's also CEO of HiveLive. This company is a social networking platform that allows you to build flexible, custom-fit communities. And I was really intrigued by HiveLive because of the fact that he is going to be talking to us about how design and social networking really works together in building communities because of his whole background being in a firm called IDEO, and they're very well known in the design world. So, John, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Jennifer, pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Great. So now, how does design fit into the whole social networking world?
It's a great question. It's one of the unique points of view that we're trying to bring to the marketplace. At a high level, companies are looking to engage communities and build communities and engage social networking to drive business innovation. And that's exactly what design and design thinking has been about as well. So they overlap. How does it fit? Well, both worlds tend to be people-centered, driven by insights, and really rewarded by flexible, iterative ways of working. So if I might take a moment, just talk a little bit about design thinking and the design thinking process, and I'll highlight a few points and then maybe how they fit with community. So design thinking is a way of working that, you know, designers and artists tend to use, and it's a great complement to analytical thinking. But designers tend to start problem solving by starting with insights and understanding and ethnographies to gain great customer empathy. So starting with empathy first and starting with understanding first before even sometimes the problem is completely defined. And then once you move from understanding, then you tend to move to a generative, brainstorming, prototype-driven process where you create as many options as you can based on your deep understanding. And then you use a very test-driven, iterative-driven process to rapidly fail early and fail often and find your way to success. So that's really a high-level overview of the design thinking process and how it routinely leads to innovation. That way of working is extremely relevant in community and in business purpose communities because they are organic social environments, right? It's not something you can completely predict. The membership changes, the conversations change, so it requires iterative ways of working. They need to be designed and they need to be grown rather than engineered and shipped. So that's a little part of the overlap. They both drive innovation, and it's really exciting to be working in both worlds.
So how do you incorporate that thinking into actually building a social networking platform at HiveLive?
I might actually handle that from two dimensions. First is talk a little bit about our social software platform and why it's designed the way it is to allow for the design thinking process to be used within community, and then how our customers are designing their communities. Maybe I'll start with the latter. Our point of view and our experience is that enterprise communities are things that you need to design. That every company is different, every brand experience is different, the activities that drive participation for every organization, for every community base, they're different. And so a one-size-fits-all generic blog wiki form approach just doesn't work. So first is the recognition that every community has a unique social thumbprint. You need to design it. That's important. We kind of talk about that as custom fit up front. That's a design exercise. But also, as I alluded to earlier, the communities change, right? And they mature. You start with a few people, and then you invite more, you engage, and you excite the membership, and then you extend the membership, and you continue that process as the community grows. And that often requires, because it leads to often unexpected outcomes, it requires flexibility to adapt, which requires continued design and shaping as you go. So that's a little picture of the environment of community, and we have a process by which we help companies design, understand, then design, then build out, then seed, and then launch and roll out and then maintain communities that respects that. Now, what's interesting is the requirements on the technology platform are different than what most people expect because of the custom fit requirements and because of the flexibility and the organic adaptability required. Generic fixed point solutions and fixed technologies, starting with technologies, they don't work because if you start with a blog wiki forum, that's all you get. So what we've done with our platform is we've designed a social software platform with a new set of basic ingredients that you can actually design with. So we start with people, We then offer new community building blocks and then allow community managers to shape the user experience and the brand experience as well, and that allows you to create custom fit communities that can adapt very easily.
So how do you sort of work with a customer, or let me work us through a customer. Give me an example of a customer where this has worked well.
Worked well, right? I might actually use an example of one of our first customers, a software company. So let me comment first that community is applicable to all sorts of businesses. You know, companies who have customers that they wish to engage and involve in the design process. To attract new customers, to build loyalty, to do insights and support. It's relevant for a lot of brands, consumer products, as well as technology companies. But let me give just a technology company example first. So we're working with a software company whose customers are agile software practitioners. In fact, they're design thinkers in a way around extreme programming. They tend to use fast cycles for developing software as well. And this company decided to build their customer community to build customer engagement and to start collaborating and co-designing their own products with their customers, so to involve their customers in the design process. And they started with a vision a couple of years ago. And we sat down and helped them map out the vision, figured out what the first steps were. And they started with like 20 people and started to grow and design the community as they went and then extend the community. So we helped them through the design phase up front, and then help them through the rollout phase as well. So now, over about a year and a half later, their online community is one of the largest online communities around agile software development as a practice. They have a very mixed membership of not only employees, but their customers, their partners, industry experts, and prospective folks participating in one very rich environment. And it's been a learning process the whole time. So the activities that were relevant up front with just 20 people or 100 people are very different than the activities that they're supporting now with thousands and thousands of folks participating.
So let me interrupt a second. So go into a little bit of detail on that, because that's interesting to me is briefly, again, because we're talking about a short podcast here, kind of what are the differences between the 2,000-person community versus the 10,000-person community?
Yeah, so just to start with, a handful of folks, they're doing basic things with just a limited audience, just starting to populate content around questions and answers or around resources for shared best practices. But now with way many more people participating, they're doing things like co-designing their products. So they have an area where their own customers can look at Rally's product roadmap and give feedback. They have areas where customers can submit and generate their own feature concepts and product concepts, kind of a crowdsourced brainstorming environment, and then customers can build on each other's ideas and vote and actually affect the 8-week rapid development cycle of the company itself. So that's a very rich and deep design exercise that they're doing in collaboration with lots of people now that it just wasn't possible or relevant with a couple hundred.
Interesting. Well, great. John Kimball, I have really enjoyed talking to you here on Marketing Voices.
Jennifer, pleasure as well. Thank you.
So thank you very much. I've been talking to John Kimball, who's a consulting associate professor of the Institute of Design at Stanford. He's also CEO of Hive Live. And for all my listeners and viewers, until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.